Okay. So this is another shtickel from the same sefer that we used last time, that we used 2 days ago. He cut it up. It's not sefer zmanim per se, because sefer zmanim is only on the garden, and these pieces are from Bisyakov, same mechabib really, and it's a piece straight out just with a much, much nicer print. So we'll do that. That's right. I don't know how to describe it other than it doesn't have an amid over here. So, there's a sort of a hidden kasha here, which is, I assume, what he's sort of addressing, a hidden point. L'chura, you would tend to assume that both Madiamrim are addressing a similar question. In other words, either how they got into the got Kaisel to do the Avoida, or how bad it was. But really, Rav Loza seems to be saying how they got them in. Rav Shlomo Nachman seems to be saying how difficult it was. I think he's taking it as a hanocha, or at least he's libre noite that it probably means two of the same. Of, you know, it's probably addressing the same nekuda. So it says like this: Beferach haynu shehitu Reb Shmuel Nachman Fericho. Beferach haynu shehitu is Yisrael. She dibru ito mitchilo dvarim toivim beferach she yidamelem she ein kavanosam lahara klal she imshicho tom laat laat badrog te chashibud she rotsa la gilo meat mati ma avdus bascholo kdei she yishtakach mehem she ebnei choyim meoilom. So the point here is, he says, both Mahalchim were used. The main point was, he wasn't worried about them in the Pshuto Shemikra about revolting, or I guess they would try to get out of it or run away. What he's saying is, it was a Mahalach to psychologically bring them to a matzav of avdus, where they would see that as their natural matzav. That's the nekuda. So beferach means whenever you have, if two police come to your door 3 a.m. and they drag you off to jail, there's a very clear transition from home to jail, and it's very clear that you became jailed. If slowly there's an evolutionary process where there's a stickle bars on the windows, and then there's a lock on the door, and then you have to ask for the key, and there's a slow process. The slower the process, the more it becomes you. And this, and we'll explain soon the other mandiyama as well. Okay, this is a nekuda that he says here that's really, really, in a lot of ways, the heart of his nekuda. Tefillah doesn't pass on something that a person has no shyness to. I don't have, if I walk by and I walk in a very wealthy neighborhood where homes are $25 million homes, and I walk by and I ooh and I aah, I say I wish I had one of them. There's no tefillah for those houses because I don't see it. I don't see myself shaykh to it. Rav Moshe Shapiro once brought a fascinating. It was a Rashi in Madura Kama in Ksubas and Shidim Gubetzes. It says Koloime Rebbe Meis Yidoker. So why? So the Pashas learn it's like a Moitzidiba and so on, but. So it's a Rashi of a Nusach of an earlier Nusach something. It's in the Shita. He says because then people will stop being mispalo. People, there's no tefillah for a mace. We give up hope because we a mace is like the Gemara says. You know, my dehave. You know, have it's like there's no chance. That you know, a chayim meisim lo chayu. It's not shaykh to us to Ram Chiyus. So mele, there's no tefillah in a person. Anything a person feels that is not shaykh to be'etzim, there's no tefillah for it. I once heard, actually, he said over Yitzhak Hellman, he once said over from his father, they asked him, I think it was the shidduch, and they were quiet about his matzah, whatever. So he said over from his father, that it says that the malach takes a tipa, and he asks, they have tipa zu, chochem, or tipesh, or your osher, rosh v'tzadik lo nema. So he asked, melech chochem, you have to build into the genes. But Oni and Asher, what does that have to do with the? So he said, there's an Oni who chatters, he doesn't have any money. He said, there's an Oni that he's be'etzim an Oni. That's his mohus. He's a schlepper. It doesn't, you know, he's not going to make any money. So he, like, he quipped, he said that. He said, that's the, whatever. But Al Kaponim, the tefillah is shayich only to something that be'etzim is in a person's sherish. If a person dehairs that he's something, so then he's mispalled, then it talks. He has a lashon that he uses a lot, very poetic lashon. He uses in a lot of context the ishbitzer about the tzaaka of the bria, when this happened, the bria had a tremendous tzaaka, an outcry. Takash Baruch Hu. It means that when something is there, potential, it begs to be realized, to be. So he says, so mele if the cholkam nasa nashkech mitzal koyach tefillah, v'lo yala libam v'daitom, shelo yalem shum tikva li Yeshua lotzis min agolz av zecheiros. They didn't want to have, that would have any hope, shelo yispal Hashem yisparach sheyishel lo yisim esham. Ki yoydim oya mitzrim, shem yispalu al zois, yunen miyad v'tfilosam. Al kein ischil hargois am befer rach kedesh lezakol Hashem. Ki ikar golos hoya she nidma beinehem, yeshivas mitzrayim lemokim meunag betafnukim melochim. Ki oya oretz kegan Hashem she bemitzim kol kach tshukois vechemdus at shenoch libam. So there was a certain sense of being drawn into it. And when somebody is drawn into it, then when he finds himself at the other end of it, He feels that that's his makom. So the perach means that they drew them into it, and the reason was that they shouldn't feel. It's just like an adult. Rahman said somebody had some sort of an accident or something happened to him. He feels, you know, there was a before and there was an after. A person's childhood, because it transitions into adulthood, doesn't feel like I was robbed of my childhood because I became an adult at some point. I mean, I'm, you know, that's the process. A person changes. So they drew into Mitzrayim, they became in Mitzrayim, and that was a way to remove from them that sense. V'zeh ma she'isa, she'ein eved yochel levreach mi Mitzrayim. She'noyach lo liyosom eved milo yisar b'eretz acher. So he says a fascinating taich. It's a little bit of a taich, but it's very. It says that Eved couldn't run out of Mitzrayim. He says because why would he leave? Mitzrayim was the most comfortable place, most luxurious place, and the person wouldn't. In other words, it wasn't machmas that they kept everybody in as much as everybody was drawn in. They felt they'd rather be in Eved there and go someplace else. It's just like a person would work very, very hard just to be in the center. You know, the Yetzer people have to be in New York, in the center of Manhattan, even though they have to work much, much harder to attain. The answer is because there's a sense that this is where it's at. So Mitzrayim had that ability, and Mitzrayim was shayla and everything, and that was the drawing power it had. Hayne she mekov negusha kol min araba schol erishem avodim. V'chaka choy befricha, ki kasher ro paro she mekavel osu negula, goz atich per avoyde v'zeh befricha. Haino shenishbu mikoy v'avoyde v'shoch yichusom v'nas yugilom kol kach ba'avdus ashenidmem shem avda oylom v'nol dekach. So once they started, once it got to a certain point of no return, then when they began to realize that it's avdus, the antidote was the opposite, to be so crushing that there would be no mahalach, that they would think of as other avodim. When a person is struggling to survive second by second, to think back that Bemis, where am I? What, you know, it's not me. What am I doing here? they wouldn't have that moment. So the reason for the pricha was, and because if you think about it, he wasn't interested in torturing Klal Yisrael per se. They basically wanted to exploit them. But they weren't. They weren't afraid of them running away. They weren't out the etzem. But he says the mahalach of the inu was adarab to make it so oppressive that in the court in a cycle of just surviving, that they would never even say to themselves, you know, Betzim, this is not who we are. Somebody who grew up, somebody who was caught and made an Eved, so he's desperate, he's mispal that he should get out. Somebody who grew up as an Eved, all he is mispal that he should be Moitze Chayin Bein Adonav. It's like somebody who grew up in poverty. So his tefillah is that he should be able to afford an extra small thing, because that's who he is. And again, it's an important point. Tefillah is always shayach to the mohus of the person. And if a person dehairs his mohus in a certain way, he's never going to be a spalal over that. So an eved who's born into avdus, his tefillah is that his avdus should be comfortable because he sees himself as an eved. They didn't even feel the avodim. Sometimes a person is so caught up in his tzaris, and everybody else is nishtayim from the person's tzaris, he's so caught up in them that he doesn't have time to think about it. It's like when you look at somebody who's a homeless person and smells terrible and he's rolling the street and whatever it is, so you're devastated by what he is. He's trying to figure out if he can get a free sandwich out of you or a coffee. And if he gets a coffee, he's besimcha. Because he takes for granted that this is what he is. He's rolling the gutters, and all he needs is, and he's also with that. So he says, This is an extraordinarily beautiful taich. The loisida beforech of an eved ivri, it's besides the rachmanis that the person shouldn't have, shouldn't have heavy work. But he says a stronger point. He said, don't work into a point where he forgets that he's be'etzem ben chayrin and not an eved. He says, give him the few minutes of his bainus a day that the person still has the hope to be who he is. I want to digress a minute for what he says. It's very interesting. The word tikva means, the word tikva comes from the word kav, which is a line. You have it used in that context, tikva schut hashani, by Yeshua and by Rachav Azayna, when she would hang out the string. A tikva means there's a line from where you are to someone or something else. That's what tikva is. There was a very interesting Moshiach in Shal Yisrael, and his name was Shimshon. And Shimshon's mahalach was to become a plishti. That was Shimshon's mahalach. He went and was a plishtim for practical purposes, and married into plishtim, and was with the plishtim, and so on. And when he was going to be buried with the plishtim, so Yaakov's tefillah for him was Lishuascha kivisa Hashem. That was Yaakov's tefillah for him. In other words, to hold on to an akuda that far away, that he still be mechuber, that's called Yeshuas HaKavis Hashem. So a tikva is only shayach if a person dehairs that this is where he should be. If the person is not where he should be, then if the person is where, if he doesn't realize that he belongs someplace else, then there's no hope anymore. Hope is only shaykh if there's still a shaykh as that original. This is a part I want to get rid of. So if there would be no tikva, they wouldn't be mispalo. I said over last year on Tisha B'Av, I said over Purim again. I don't think I've ever said Purim. The Gvaldik is a story from Model Pragomansky. They're awesome. He asks, it says, you know, in the Megillah, everything in Megillah is clicks into place. Everything in the Megillah has, you know, a markup in the story. The little piece, the little parasha doesn't have is Balailu Nodesh Nasa Melech. It adds nothing to the story. It adds nothing to the story, it takes everything from the story. I mean, if it wouldn't have happened, the Yeshua could have happened, and if not, not. There's nothing there that it contributes. And yet, one man Yama holds that you have to start the Balailu, who is Tarkvashal Nais. What happened? I mean, it was like a little, what they call comic relief, and you know, in the drama, like they put a little parasha. What for?
So, the importance of not being able to sleep.
Even getting and calling Haman and getting to sit on you know, and getting Mordechai dressed up and Koch Yosef Seder, but it ended with that.
The second suit was going to happen anyways.
Yeah. They just ended up with. Yeah. So this was in the ghetto. Mordechai Pogromansky was in the ghetto, and he said. He said, imagine if the head of the ghetto was not a bad person. Roilke, I think his name was. If all of a sudden you woke up one day, and you saw him taking Kovner Rav on a horse and riding around the ghetto and saying Kochi Asa, he says, you know what would change? We'd be able to daven for Yeshua. He says we can't daven for Yeshua because we don't feel there's hope. But when you see that something is possible, then you have a makom to ask for something. So he said the tikva of it's, he said it, that's when Christ was able to daven, because they saw that, you know, something can happen. So as long as there's a tikva, it's possible, and the most fundamental tikva is when the person himself still sees himself as being there. In other words, the opposite of Avodas Paruch is v'snachalte moysom. He should become mushrash as part of your estate. Ki u'evet b'shroshay u'mutter l'tzoy farach l'man yir b'neichem en avdus. So he says something fascinating. He says, working in b'farach, so he doesn't think about other things. It's exactly opposite. Paris said v'le'yishol divrei sheker, that they shouldn't wander off in Irishkeiten. They should stick to their work. By an Evet Kanaini, this is his makom. For those that Akash Baruch said, you know, that Kanaini is an Evet, then that's his metzias. So by Yisrael, the not working for his parach means to give him enough presence of mind that he constantly live with the awareness that this is not where he belongs, and here, v'chein b'chol gzeir rosh nasal sani yisrael hoylichim or gamkin halom avesak v'echat tefillah. So he says every gzeir carries with itself also a hester for v'echat tefillah. So leispalu klal Hashem is v'chol yitzur yisem yizeh. K'mayshom ha'kosef tich par avayda nashim v'al yishu b'divay shaka. So ki im ha'odam yedea Sheraloi, if a person at least is aware that things are not good, v'tsoyik mispalo u'mitzap l'Hashem yisbarach sheyosia sheyishilik, ze etzem ha'yishua, ki rechsi baruch Hashem l'hisa tfilosoi v'chaste mi'iti, u'kri'isa u'me'acha shehu mechake v'anan mechakin. But it's talking about the gula asida. So I also want to explain, again, it's parallel to what he says, that's the music of tzipisa l'yishua, is you know, it's just a piece of shul, it's one thing to ask for Yom Adin and so on. What's it nogea? In other words, where is the halach of tzipir liyishua? And the Ram does say at mechakla, but at hagufa. What's l'may nafkimina? I believe in Mashiach, and what's the element? Mashiach is an emuna. There's no tzipir of tchias hameisim. There's it's a piece of liyishua. the Teretz is because we're shayach to Mashiach only through tzefiyah, because we understand ourselves to be in Golus. In other words, the Mashiach is part of Klal Yisrael now, really. Tchias HaMesim is not. Tchias HaMesim is Lasid Lavo. It's not really, it's an emuna. Tzipis Yeshua is because Malchus Beis David is supposed to be Klal Yisrael, and we rejected it, and we need to get it back again. If a person is not mitzafe for Mashiach, not mechake for Mashiach, that means that as far as he's concerned, Mashiach is not relevant. He'll come, we'll greet him nicely. It's not relevant. It's anything a person is safer for means that there's still an akud inside him that's mechuba to it. So if you don't feel that there's any need for it or there's any problem, then there's no point to it. And even if we daven pro forma, it doesn't. We're not davening. Okay, So he says, there was one thing, the one thing Mr. forgot, this is similar, I guess, to the Nekuda we saw 2 nights ago. We, HaKadosh Baruch, was Ma'ir and Nekuda from inside Klal Yisrael, that's still Mushrash, to start feeling that they're not happy there. This is not where they belong. And B'meila, the Hisairis came, so it's true that the Mitzrim did what they could to stop everything from outside, but Lamai said there was something inside. And then now it goes to this point. Okay, let's talk about this. Let's discuss this point because it's quite a deep point and it's essential. Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they'll ask me what his name is. What should I tell him? So, Kashu said, Eke Asher Eke. It's a very strange name. Kashu Baruch Hu, to the others, he was in scarlet to one name, to Moshe Rabbeinu, scarlet to Shem of Havaya. You don't find Eke used in any other place but here, basically. That's it. And it's true that Eke is a derivation of Havaya. But what is it? What kind of name is it? It's one of the Shemus that's not in Chokim, it's a shame that's Kaddish. When do you use Eke? The only place I can think of is by the Nusach, by the Yerotzim for the Chazan, by Yom Neroim, Eke Asher Eke. They quote the Pasuk, I don't know why particularly, but what's the Gilui, the Zohar Kodesh says that this is the Lashon. He says a little bit different. He says Ano Zomin Loiloda. I think the Lashon is Ano Zomin LeMehavi. There's also, it's interesting in that pasuk. Vayu Ki Yomru Vayu Ki Shal Ish Aloisi Mash Moim Aleim. The Seif Tevis of the first four words is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Not in order, but it's Merumas, Ki, Yishalo is the Vav, Hoya is the Hey. You have Yudke Vavke Merumas there. What's the Shem Eke? So, in the names, in the Midas that we have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we have the Messiahs, what different midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses himself. There's a mida that's called Keser, which is sometimes the highest mida, sometimes doesn't even make it to the, in other words, never makes it to the list, depending on different ways of configuring it. It's a very strange mida. It's a mida that has no gilui whatsoever of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in it. Chochma and Bina and Chesed and Gvur and all of these are Giluyim HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midas. And as such, we have some definition. Chesed does not have any Giluyim, period. So what's it there for? Better said, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is infinite beyond all Giluyim. So I understand there's Inyanim HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Megalatas, that's all of Torah. And there's Inyanim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not Megalatas. That line is a line we can cut. So we'll call the Sheamus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Midas and the Sphirus and the Ilamis and everything you want to throw in, those are all Gilui HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Fine. Those are Inyanim that we have some understanding, more or less, a lot. Fine. And then we have things that are beyond us. That's not a problem. What's this strange meter called Keser? Where does it come in? And the answer is, there's a meter that allows you to tap. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Giluyim they're drawn, they come into the Bria, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Megal himself in Mitzrayim, in Matan Torah, in different places. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Megal himself, He's Megala, whatever he chooses to be Megala, and we have a lot from that. But there's a Mida that allows us to ask for it, to anticipate it, to shtaltzu, to do something that will allow us to connect to it. It's the anoz zomin lemehava means I'm preparing myself. The musig of being shayach to something. Even if it's beyond you. Let's give a mashal. Let's give a simple mashal. A person goes to hear a shiur. A person decides to go to yeshiva, to a class, to anything. There are two statements implied in that. One is that I don't know whatever information, chachma, the person is offering, I don't know. And the second one is I would like to know it. Effects of the kasha. If you don't know it, how do you know you like to know it? Like manefshach. It's you know, if you don't know what it is, then the answer is, I do have a chush. So you know, there are a lot of other pasha to it. So that somebody told me that I would like it. I like, you know, it's prestigious job, whatever it is. Fine. But there's also the possibility where a person dehears something, and it's shaykh to him. Let's give a more intense mashal. A person has a lot of musical abilities, and he knows that he wants to bring it out, and he can't. He doesn't have it well, and someone offers to teach him. So now I have a direct shaykhus to that, in the sense of I can aspire for that, I can hope for that, I can want it. That's the mahalchim that we call. That will fall on that umbrella that's referred to as keser means these are inyanim that will never be, they're never meant to be as they are, but they're meant to give us a sense of what's beyond so that we can draw from it. Again, similar to what we spoke last time about when you can see things and you can see something from a higher sphere. And latch onto it. So, mashal, I'm in proximity with a person who's much chesed than me, and I feel it awakens me a sense that this is who I can be, and this is who I betzim should be, and this is me. So then I begin to ask him, tell me, explain to me, teach me, etc. So the shem of erke is a future of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not zomlem haveh. Because it means it's the meter that allows us to anticipate future meters and then to bring it down through tefillah or anything like that. I want to add another point about it. Yudke Vavke, Erke Betzim is included. Yudke Vavke stands for Haya Haya Viyet, one of the Inyanim. So there's a mistake in understanding. It doesn't mean simply that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be. That a HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be around in X amount of time, that's a very, very shallow way of looking at it. because Beitz HaMikdash is timeless. How do we associate future tense to someone who's timeless? What's the name? The answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts with the mid of Avar and with the mid of Haive and with the mid of Asid. Acting with the mid of Asid means that I now give you a handle for something that you'll have in the future. So if there's a geula that's scheduled later, then I have the ability to be mispalafed now. The ability means not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows the tefillah and he answers. It means I can tap into it. You know, hashkacha is that what's there for the future is being piled now as well. The God of tomorrow is now being piled as well. That's the Gil of Eker. That's what he told Moshe Rabbeinu, Eker she'eker in every golus, I'll be there. It means, what does it mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chotzer asom leitzor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down in golus with us. I mean, by definition, we're not being saved by him. By definition, you know, the golus are difficult. So what does it mean, b'chotzer asom leitzor? What's, the answer is, it means that I'll be able to tap into it. I'll never lose sight of the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam is there and that there's a makom for tefillah, exactly the way he's describing it. So he says, there's another value. There's another mechak that's part of v'chakach moishes Hashem's baruch k'moshkasa v'yitzak el Hashem batzalahem mimitzukosem yetzileim u'mimasha amal Hashem yisbaruch eke shehodia mihem. So he says, "Erke means HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be your God. It's something that you be'etzem shayach to me, and once you have that yilui, then it's possible to be myself it." It's interesting. So he says it's Arab. It's because they were given a hope and a connection to something outside of themselves. They were able to save themselves. I think it says one of the Inyanu Tefillah says that a chavush is not matatzim beis asurim. That somebody who's in jail can't, and that's why. On the other hand, it says that a tefillah of a chayla is yafa. So what's the pshat? Is a chavush asurim, or is the tefillah of a chayla better from anything else? So I think there's a diakalashin of chavush. In other words, a chayla means I'm a regular person. I have a cold. So I really am a regular person, and I have an issue, and I that's certainly my tefillah is better than anybody else. A chavish means I'm better than not shaykh to everybody else. Just like when somebody's in a pit, so if the pit is not so tall, I can put a hand out and grab myself. So I have one part of me is here, one part of me is here, and that's what I pull out. If I'm really in a deep pit, then that's my world. That's my world. A chavish means that he's trapped inside a certain world and he can't take himself out of Beis Asurim because his whole mohus is in Beis Asurim. There's no tefillah and there's no eitzah for a person to be part of something that he's not. So the first nekud of gula is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows a person to deher his mirirs. It's interesting. The lashon in lashon kodesh for a bad thing is called a tzara. A Yeshua, so I once said to Moshe Shapiro, he said Yeshua comes from the Lashon Shua Tavi Venoz, which means to straighten out. So when a person has a tzara, he has a tzara. So he doesn't feel well. He doesn't have enough money. He has people that are after him or whatever it is. Those are difficulties. Those are difficulties. A tzara means a difficulty locks a person into it. It squeezes, it compresses his personality into something that's not him. So just like imagine making somebody back into Uber, where the person is basically reduced to nothing. So every when we talk about a tzara, we talk about something that the person loses his tzura because he's compressed and you can't recognize. Just like you can't recognize an Uber to a child, it's very difficult because it's just one is a little born and one is unrolled. The same thing is true with a person. Yeshua means to give a person back his metzias. And the yesod for that is, you know, tefillah is only shayach if the person declares that this is where he should be. Like we said before, tefillah is not shayach to things that are beyond the person, that person knows are beyond him, that doesn't believe that they're him. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a... So what threatens a person more than anything else is the tzorus of a bad matzah, where he sees himself just hopeless, just not being shayach to whatever else. So there's no tefillah and b'meila, there's nothing coming, no Yeshua. The b'chol tzorosam leitzar is an haga HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mezgala to a person's eker, in a midah where he gives a person a sense of what ought to be, of what he ought to be. And b'meila, it starts a process where a person is now first capable of davening. It's like a lot of times a person, if he feels something is hopeless, and then when you give him a thread of hope, so first of all, when a person is hopeless, a lot of times his reaction is apathy. You don't see him cry. You don't see him groan. The person is apathetic. The person is couldn't care. He doesn't see himself as alive. Sometimes when you start the process of giving a person some hope, that's when the person he screams. That's when the person is begins to misfollow. And once he's misfollowed, then the Yeshua comes. So his point is the Mahalach Paris Gezeira was the attempt to choke out Tikva from Kal Yisrael. He did it either by slowly drawing him in so they never felt that they were in a problem, or he crushed them in a way that was they didn't have time to think about it. It's very interesting. I once heard, I was in Russia in 87 when I was still communist, and it was remarkable. The stores were empty. I mean, nobody starved to death, but there was very little to buy. And every so often, somebody would come with a pushcart, and they would have like shirts, like one size, one color, and it'd be a line around the block. And so you spent a good part of your life, you spent standing in line waiting for all sorts of odds and ends, things that we take for granted. And someone said, I don't know how it was, but it was definitely good. He said, the government Dafka does it that way because it keeps people busy with it. So they don't have time to think any terrible machshavas about the government. You're so busy, your day is occupied. Oh, did you hear? They have sacks over there. I run over there and stand for the sacks and I come back. It gets the person akaponim. So I guess a limud, besides the fact that this musik, this gilui of eke was dafki tzitz mitzrayim, and it's a gilui that will always be difficult. So never so. Also is interesting. The Bala Musa stressed a lot, Cheshma Nefesh and so on. So it, you know, on a bigger fanem, it has a tachlis of a utilitarian tachlis of working on your meters. But taking a few minutes a week, even that a person can just get out of the cycle. Someone asked me, I was speaking, I was in Torah Shraga, and when I was there in the winter, and the questions and answers, and someone asked, somebody who's not going to sit and learn for a very long time. I'm have a year or two, and then I'm going to go off to the Greek world. What's the single most important thing I can do? So I told him, I said, to find 15 minutes a week that you cut off from everybody, anything, and in a very consistent way, you can look down at the week and ask yourself, have I made changes in myself? Am I going anywhere? Are things flying out of control? The worst thing is when you're part of something. And that's why the Midah of Keser is, it's doimah to, just like a crown on a person is not the person himself. It's not attached to the person. It's not of the person. But it's something that's endowing the person with something beyond him. That's what a Keser is. It sits on me. So it's mitzarev to me, but it's not of me. But if anything, it is bringing towards me. That's the b'china. A person, if we want to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midas, the midah of allowing the part of my quote unquote self that's not caught up with myself and has some high nekuda to it, and I'm able to designate that and you know, this is to look beyond myself, to look out of my dalamas, to be honest with that, that would be a type of anhaga that would be parallel to what he said about HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving him that moment of respite and being able to be typhus, that bets them, they're caught up in something in a degree that they don't even know that they're there. Okay, we don't have a minion, obviously.
In a way that
you know, I might have a minion, actually. Lazi, you want to see if my kids...
Okay.
You down already?
I don't know.
See if my kids, if they didn't go off to... there are a bunch of... There are enough kids there.
Just gabbing.
What?
In a way that person, Torah Shraga, had a mila, right? He was going off the air and had a bunch of demons happen too.